Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda, and you're listening to the Qalam Podcast. Allah tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the stories of the prophets are a source of great strength and comfort for the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, it's important for all of us to learn and reflect on these stories and derive the lessons, the strength, and spirituality from the stories of these great and noble prophets that Allah has given to us in the Quran. Therefore, I'm very pleased to share with you the series that I delivered in the Qalam Masjid, on the Qalam campus, all throughout the month of Ramadan 2024, corresponding to 1445 after Hijrah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a means of benefit for all of us. Please enjoy the series.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, inshallah, we're going to be talking about continuing series, stories of the prophets from the Quran. Today, we're going to be about the Prophet Ismail alayhi salam, the son of alayhi salam, the Prophet Ismail alayhi salam, who is one of the forerunners of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet, as he said, authentic narration, Anamni Ismail. I am from the progeny of Ismail alayhi salam. And the theme that we're going to be focusing on within the story of Ismail alayhi salam, particularly from the Quran, is the theme of family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about Ismail alayhi salam in Surah Maryam, Surah number 19, in ayahs 54 and 55. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِسْمَعِيلِ. Reflect on what the Qur'an tells you about the Prophet Ismail alayhi salam. إِنَّهُ كَانَ صَادِقَ الْوَعْدِ. He indeed was someone who was truthful in his word and in his promises. وَكَانَ رَسُولًا نَبِيًّا. And he was a messenger and a prophet of Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about something very specific and very particular about Ismail alayhi salam. وَكَانَ يَأْمُرُ أَهْلَهُ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ وَكَانَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ مَرْضِيًّا. And he regularly used to advise. He regularly used to enjoin upon his family, remind his family, tell his family, command his family to bis-salah, to establish the prayer, was-zakat, and to give charity, وَكَانَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ مَرْضِيًّا. And he was ultimately in the eyes and the sight of his Lord, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is someone that his Lord is pleased with. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about this great Prophet of Allah, Ismail alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned something very specific. That Ismail alayhi salam, with all the other responsibilities he had as a prophet and a messenger of Allah, Ismail alayhi salam was putting in so much time and effort and energy into the spirituality, the iman, the faith, the deen, the religion, the connection with Allah of his own family members. And that shows us something very important, a very important theme from the Qur'an. And that is our responsibilities, our good work, our khair, our da'wah, our sadaqah, all of that begins at home. The great prophets of Allah, the Qur'an is teaching us, that these people who, with no exaggeration, right? Sometimes we might look at somebody who's very busy and they're responsible for a lot of people, they have a lot of obligations, and we say they have the weight of the world on their shoulders. That's a figurative statement. These prophets of Allah literally had the weight of the world on theirs. Everyone and everyone's salvation and everyone's well-being was their responsibility. That is enormous to just think about. But yet Allah is telling us very explicitly, not coincidentally, we're not reading between lines here, We're not interpreting something. Allah is saying, وَكَانَ يَأْمُرُ أَهْلَهُ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ. I usually try not to get too nerdy and technical in these sessions. كَانَ يُفِيدُ الْإِسْتِمْرَارِ. Kana literally carries the connotation, the meaning of something happening continuously. All the time, regularly, nonstop, every day, morning and evening, night and day, all the time. Ya'muru, he would tell them. And again, he's a prophet of Allah, so we know that he would advise them and counsel them and put an arm around their shoulder and hug them and tell them and remind them. But Allah still used the word ya'mur. That if it came down to it, he would tell them. And the parents in this room know, just like we tell our children, it's time to eat. You need to, I don't want to eat. Right? Like, no, you have to eat. Time to go to bed. You have to go to bed. So why is it then we have this weirdness about saying you have to pray? You have to stand before Allah, Habib. We have to fulfill our obligation to Allah. We get to talk to Allah. Let's go. So he would tell his family to pray and give zakat and give charity. So the point I was making was, with all the responsibility in the world, Allah is explicitly telling us it started at home. Allah tells us about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Quran, in Surah Taha, the next surah, surah number 20. At the end of that surah, Allah commands the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, addresses him, wa'mur. Subhanallah, same word, amr. Wa'mur. Allah is telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, command, ahlaka bis salah. Wa'mur ahlaka bis salah. Tell your family to pray. Wastabir alayha. And you be very regular and particular about the prayer. This is the month of Ramadan, we talk about this. Idha dakhala al-ashr al-awakhir. Right, that when the last 10 nights of Ramadan would come upon the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ shadda mi'zarahu wa jama'a shamlahu. He would roll up his sleeves, he'd tighten his belt. Wa kana ahya al-layl. And he would stay up at nights, worshipping Allah. But then what does it say? Wa kana yuqidu ahlahu. And he would wake up his family to pray with him at night. He would wake up his family to pray with him at night. So this is a very important lesson that we all need to understand. That we need to understand our responsibility, just like we are responsible for people, their physical well-being, their physical health, and all the other aspects of responsibility, but we're also responsible for their iman, their relationship with Allah, their spirituality. We're also responsible for these things. We might be very passionate about doing good in the world and putting some good out there, and making the world a better place, and that's excellent. May Allah accept. However, we need to understand that the impact begins immediately around us. And the other thing I wanted to mention here very quickly is that understand also the benefit of this and how it is generational. That's why Allah was telling the Prophet ﷺ, وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. You practice it and then tell them to practice it. Where does Ismail alayhi salam learn this from? Well, he learns it from Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Baqarah, in ayah number 127, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلُ. When Ibrahim alayhi salam goes to raise the foundations of the Kaaba, he takes his son Ismail with him. And then Ismail alayhi salam, Allah is telling us in the Quran, is then telling his family to pray. His father took him to pray, and now he's taking his kids to pray. Understand this. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. He's making dua. He tells his son, come with him. Making dua together in the collective now. Our Lord, تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا, accept from us. And side little note, just because that word تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا, it reminds me of this, right? Ask Allah for acceptance. That sometimes we get caught up or we get confused by metrics of success. Optics and numbers and quantity and all these things. My sheikh always used to tell me, I remember the moment when I was visiting him. He said, how's the program going? And I said, I'm doing this program. And I said, you know, make dua Allah makes it successful. And he goes, no, always make dua that Allah accepts it. Because different people have different definitions of success. But ultimately, everything else is irrelevant if Allah has not accepted it. Or it might not meet some people's metrics of success. But if Allah accepts it, then there is no more valuable deed. And this is also another very powerful lesson, that we ask Allah to accept us, we ask Allah to accept our children, we ask Allah to accept our families, and then look at that sadaqah jariyah and that khair that continues on, where then Ismail alayhi salam is doing the same thing with his. So that's the lesson about family that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches here in the Qur'an from the story of Ismail alayhi salam. And we reflect on what Allah tells us in the Qur'an, قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ أَهْلِكُمْ نَارًا. Save yourselves and your families from the hellfire. In another place in the Quran, Allah tells us, وَمَنْ صَلَحَ مِنْ أَبَائِهِمْ وَأَزْوَاجِهِمْ وَذُرِّيَّتِهِمْ. That if we're able to do the right thing and ask Allah for His help and for His acceptance, then Allah also tells us about the people that will enter into paradise. And when they enter into paradise, welcomed by the angels, they will find all their loved ones, all their family members there with them in paradise. Because they were all focused on their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together. And they were all focused on their deen together. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our families. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us piety and righteousness together as families. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enter us all into the gardens of paradise. Ameen. Rabbil Alameen.